Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us your love. Amen. Good morning. I'm excited to be here in front of all of you on this, my 10th week here at Trinity. I'm happy to see all your smiles and those of a few friends who came all the way from St. Andrews and Fullerton to support me today. So, I have a couple of confessions to make. First, I am very nervous. Please pray for me. Second, in these last few weeks here at Trinity, the hardest thing for me to get used to has been this sanctuary of all things. The sanctuary at St. Andrews is long and narrow. It is painted a warm goldish yellow. The ceilings and pews are a dark wood. The light is diffused, and there are no clear glass windows. I don't have to tell you that Trinity is wide, open, and bright. I was overwhelmed and lost in what I felt was the immenseness and brightness of this place. It took about 6 weeks for this feeling to go away. Thankfully, I can report that I have grown more comfortable here. After all, God is here. There are beautiful stones here, as there were in the temple in today's gospel reading. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." Jesus used the temple because of its central place in Jewish worship. The Jews believed that the temple was the place from which the power of God emanated. The temple gave legitimacy to Jerusalem and prominence in Israel. The disciples would have known immediately the significance of the temple and understood the gravity of what Jesus was saying. The temple was where the holiest of holies was located. Jesus' prediction of destruction of the temple is dire, apocalyptic. The reading is interpreted as the prediction of the end times by many Christians. Personally, I'm not sure about apocalypse theology. I definitely think there is a different way to understand this piece of the Gospels. The collect today reads, "Blessed Lord, who caused all scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life." This calls for us to wrestle with the scripture. So let's look at it in a different way. Instead of the end of the world, what if Jesus is talking about the things that we hold dear being destroyed? Our homes, our belongings, loss of our jobs. Buddhists say that everything is temporary. And I believe that Jesus would agree with our Buddhist brothers and sisters that the things we consider so important in this world are fleeting, and that what is truly important is not of this world. The gospel passage just before this one reads, "Just then he looked up and saw the rich people dropping offerings in the collection plate. Then he saw a poor widow put in 2 pennies. He said, 'The plain truth is that this widow has given by far the largest offering today. All these others made offerings that they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly. What she couldn't afford, she gave her all.'" Jesus holds up a woman who gave from her poverty without regard for her lack of treasure. He does not compliment the others who had lots of things and gave a lot. He is unconcerned about what they have because, as the poor woman knew, Jesus knew, what the rich had was temporary. In the reading immediately following today's, Jesus continues his account of disasters that will happen. He emphasizes that devastation can and will occur on earth. He says, "When you see soldiers camped all around Jerusalem, then you'll know that she is about to be destroyed. If you're living in Judea at the time, run for the hills. If you're in the city, get out quickly. If you're out in the fields, don't go home to get your coat. Incredible misery, torrential rage, people dropping like flies, people dragged off to prisons, Jerusalem under the boot of barbarians until the nations finish what has given them to do. It will seem like all hell has broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth, sea, in an uproar, and everyone all over the world in a panic. The wind knocking out of them by the threat of doom, the powers that be quaking. Wow. That's a lot, isn't it? It feels like we're living through this now. So many people today are hurting. The world is hurting. People of color, immigrants, refugees, LGBTQ folks, and people without homes, school shootings, and I could go on. Jesus further tells the disciples, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them." Am I the only one who sees this happening now? Some Christians fail to see the hurt in the world and instead listen to those who tell them that they don't have to put their faith into action and help their neighbors. Some listen to those who say that some of their neighbors are less worthy of care than others. Some listen to those who say that the end is near and we need only believe to be saved. False prophets telling us that it is okay not to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, that work to help those in pain is not necessary, are only necessary for some. But the world is in pain. These false prophets are not telling of God's love or that Jesus commanded us to love and help our neighbors. Thankfully, Jesus doesn't leave us here in pain listening to false prophets. Jesus says, "And then they'll see the Son of Man welcomed in grand style, a glorious welcome. When all this starts to happen, up on your feet, stand tall with your heads high. Help is on the way." Help is on the way. We are not alone in our suffering, nor is the world alone in its pain. God is with us. God sent Jesus to be with us. When we were feeling lonely and in pain, when we are feeling lonely and in pain, we have the promise of a loving God who sent Jesus to walk with us in our hours of despair. God sent Jesus to bring about the kingdom of heaven on earth, a place where we look after and love one another as God looks after and cares for us. When we care for one another, there is hope, or as Jeannie calls it, optimistic expectation. Hope for a better day. So don't despair when the temple walls are falling around you. Look to God in hope of love and care, and always follow the example of Jesus, who fed the hungry and healed the sick. My temple seemed to have fallen when I first came to Trinity. The sanctuary made it difficult for me to be comfortable here. But Jesus said, "But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." It was only 6 weeks, but they were a difficult 6 weeks. I know a loving God. I found God in the hugs and friendly exchanges during the peace. I found God in the shared insights during Bible study, book club, and contemplative prayer group. And I found God in your faces at the altar rail during communion. My temple may have been missing a few stones, but the love of God has been with me as I rebuilt them. Amen.